You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
All right, ready?
What is going on Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're new here, that was just a different style of the introduction. What's up? How you doing? Happy that you guys are here. We're back and we're better than ever. Here we go. It's time for us to have a little sneaky podcast. We are, of course, going to get into a Bible teaching today. I'm super excited to talk to you about some really cool stuff happening here at Impact Youth in just a second. But first, it is time to rate that.
Energy drink.
It was slightly off.
Yeah, I was a little off.
No, it was me.
No, it's okay.
It was a little bit of both. This is cool. I saw that you got this. I've had the Starburst version of with the pink Starburst.
I figured that you had had the Starburst version, so I went for the Skittles.
Yeah, I haven't had it. Go ahead and tell them like what it is, I guess. I mean, we just talked about it. But
it's a C4 Skittles energy drink.
Sure.
Yeah. It is zero sugar. That's all of the C4s.
Yep.
So there wasn't an actual sugar option, but yeah, we'll see if it actually tastes like Skittles.
Yeah, I also need to make this comment. I'm not a Yankee fan, but I still like the Yankees. I'm a Met fan, but I do like the Yankees. My grandfather was a Yankee fan, and my grandfather that's still alive, he is a Yankee fan. And so they're both big Yankee fans.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so my dad hates the Yankees. He's a Mets fan. He hates the Yankees. I don't hate him. I don't really like see the point in hating each other. We're in different leagues. Like they're in the American, we're in the National. Yeah, we're both in New York, but like I'm a New York guy. The only team I don't root for in New York is the Giants. That's it. Every other team in New York I root for. So, because I'm a Cowboy fan. Anyway.
There you go. We were just talking about sports for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, we were just sitting here just talking. Like we were just like, we honestly could have recorded it and just like, and just got it in there real quick. Yeah. So just really disappointed in my teams right now. The Mets are 0-5.
1994.
It's 1994 is apparently like a cursed year for all my teams. That's the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. The last time the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. The last time the Knicks have been to the finals. The only team that has been to a World Series or championship is the Mets, the World Series. They went in 2000 and 2015, and of course they lost. And in 1986, the Mets made it to the World Series. So, it's interesting that people can remember all that, but they can't remember a single Bible verse. Oh! Okay. Anyway, I don't know where that just came from, but it just went there. This is zero sugar. Do they have regular sugar version of this?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. How could you make a regular sugar flavor of this? That would kind of be interesting.
I mean,
I'm sure they could.
I'm sure they could.
I'm sure they could.
They just don't.
I cut my nails. Ooh.
A little splash.
Mm.
Does not smell good.
Oh, yeah. I don't really like it. I'm not looking forward to this.
I smell the Skittles.
I don't even like C4, man.
I have a funny C4 story, believe it or not.
Okay.
Not the energy drink, but the explosive.
How is there anything with C4 that's funny? Was it involving your brother?
Yeah. So I went to see my brother last week. He's in Georgia. He just graduated from Ranger School, Army Ranger School, and they did a little demonstration of like stuff that they learned, and they set off a bunch of explosives. Obviously, very far away, but it was pretty cool. It was pretty loud. The instructor giving the demonstration was saying how C4 like isn't an impact like driven explosive, and so he was like. He had a little thing of C4. It was like the size of like a tennis ball. And he was like, watch, I'm going to throw it into the crowd. And he threw it into the crowd.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. And he threw it into the crowd. And then like, I don't know how far behind us, but a little bit behind us, they set something off. And so like as he threw it and it like the guy caught it, there was like an explosion sound.
Nah.
And everybody was like, oh my gosh, kind of thing. And then
I would have jumped through the roof.
Yeah. And it was so funny. And then the guy threw the C4 back, and as the instructor was catching the C4, he threw him a roll of toilet paper. It was so funny.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, it was great. That I don't know if I would have been okay with that.
It was hilarious.
Oh my gosh, I'm triggered. No, I'm just kidding. Oh man. I will say compliments to them for making it clear.
Very clear.
Because that's one thing that I believe in. Like, there's no reason for food coloring in anything.
Yeah, especially there's no like reason. You're not like staring at it while you're drinking it. It's in a can.
No. Honestly, I'm for taking food coloring like out of like all things.
Yeah, I'm there.
I have no reason for food coloring to be in anything. It's not good for you. Just take it out. All right, let's go for a little drink. I do not want to drink this. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh.
You really? Honestly, I smell the Skittles more than I taste it. Here's what I'm experiencing. It's almost a tiny bit blue. You see that? Like just a hair?
I feel the same way that Evangelist Wesley felt about that other one that we tried.
What was that? Was that a monster?
Oh my God. I cannot. My mouth still does not feel okay after taking that sip. That was so bad. I hate this. They should be sued for making this. Dog, they should be sued for making this. This is so bad.
It isn't very good.
I'm going to take one more sip just to be fair. But I'm going to tell you what it tastes like to me. Okay.
Here's what's happening for me. I don't know if it's the fake sugar. I don't know if it's just everything else that's in an energy drink that this one just really didn't get right. But it just feels very... It feels and smells and tastes very chemical right away. And then, like, you get a little, like, fruity afterthought.
You know what I think this tastes like?
Huh.
Do you remember when the people of Israel built the golden calf?
Yeah.
You remember how God had Moses grind the golden calf into a powder and put it in the water and made the people drink it?
That's kind of tough.
That is tough. But I think that that's what this tastes like. That's what I imagine that would have tasted like.
Granular?
I think it sucks. Yeah. This is so bad. This tastes like Robitussin. Have you ever had Robitussin?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're taking any more sips of this.
I mean, it's not like no.
It's undrinkable. This is so bad.
I think you're being a little much.
This is terrible.
It's not good.
0 out of 10. Like I no, 0 out of 10. 0 out of 10.
It really isn't good.
There is no reason this should get anything. If I can give a negative, I'd give a negative because I don't think it should be for human consumption.
Why have we not tasted an energy drink that we've really liked yet?
Because we've tried stuff that we don't generally drink, and that's true. Like we figured out kind of the flavors we like. I really want to get a chaotic. I haven't seen them around as much lately.
I went to Wheels today, and I didn't.
You know what we should try on this? The peaches and cream monster that just came out. I think you'd like it. It's kind of like a peach and vanilla type idea of a monster. My favorite monster is a Monster Chaotic. And then my second favorite is maybe an Orange Creamsicle Monster.
What about the Ultra Peachy Keen?
The Ultra Peachy Keen is probably like third or fourth. Okay. I like the White Pineapple Monster too.
What color is that?
Yellow.
The skinny yellow?
No. It's a black can with a yellow M.
Oh, I haven't had it.
Yeah, it's very good. I also, did you know there is an Ultra Blue and it's blue raspberry flavored? Right? Couldn't find it's only available at Target apparently in this area.
That is very intriguing to me.
I agree.
I'll go to Target next week.
Do you go in that area?
I work right across from Target.
No shot.
Shot.
Dude, that's where abilities is?
Yeah, basically. Oh.
Yeah, go get it. Oh, go man. Get it because we're going to try. We'll try it next week. If he can find it, we'll try it next week. I saw it online.
I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay.
I'm tempted to give it a little bit more just because I think you're being a little bit much.
Nah, I'm not being much. This is bad. This is bad.
It is bad. No, it is bad.
0 out of 10.
2 out of 10.
Don't drink.
Don't drink. You can pass this one up for sure.
Don't drink. If I had the option of going to the gym without any pre-workout whatsoever, because this is kind of more of like a pre-workout type drink. It really
is.
Oh, dude, we should try. I'll go to Bagel Man one of these weeks. Bagel Man has like a lot of cool like pre-workout type drinks.
Really?
They have like the Country Time lemonade ones.
Really?
And oh, yeah, because the guy that owns that Bagel Man goes to Rob's gym. And so that's where I work out when I go. And I see him there sometimes and he's always like, oh, yo, what's up? He's jacked and he sells these there because I think them, he's like, you know, I'm a workout guy. So they have a strawberry lemonade one. That's zero cal. That's amazing.
Interesting. It's I wouldn't good. Have guessed that for
I almost man. Grabbed one today.
Yeah, I would also rather go to the gym without any caffeine
anything.
Than this.
Anything.
It doesn't really feel good. It doesn't leave a good mouth feel or a good stomach feel.
Nope. I'm going to need to drink some water. This is really bad. You it's like a weird cherry, but like, and I like cherry, and this is the bad type of cherry.
Yeah, it is. You can definitely pass this one up. Go for something else.
Yeah, if I could right now, I would just dump it out like right here, but I can't because that would make a mess. Okay, all right, bye guys. Go to the Bible teaching. What is up, Uncanceled? Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're going to transition into the Bible portion, which is pretty much the podcast. Most people probably don't even watch the beginning of the Rate That, which I don't blame you. It's for my personal enjoyment and Ben's personal enjoyment, honestly, more than it is for you. Unless you really like it. If you're a big Rate That person, why don't you go ahead and drop it in the comments? I'd be curious if somebody like is like, yeah, like I love Rate That. If you like Rate That, go ahead and type in, I like Rate That. If you don't like... or if you don't watch Rate That, just right, I don't watch it. I'm curious who actually pays attention to that and who doesn't. Anyway, and like actually comment. Do me a favor. Like even if you're at the gym, like pause, like after this set, pause the video and write the comment. Please do it for me. Do it for me. If you love me, do it for me. Thank you. Anyway, I want to just share with you guys today. I don't really have anything like super like prepared, but I have something in my spirit that I want to share. I'm just like so excited for what God's been doing here at Impact. If you're not aware of what's going on, I'm going to tell you. And if you are aware, I'm going to tell you some information that not even Ben knows. The only people that know are my wife and Grace, because Grace is one of, she's still kind of one of our youth leaders. She still runs our social media account, but she's at Bible school. They were together when I found out. But I'm going to share with you some information that not everybody even knows yet. So we have our spring kickoff event coming up this weekend on Saturday, and we're looking forward to it. This is basically an evangelistic outreach that we do. It's an evangelistic crusade of sorts where basically we have a ton of fun stuff going on at the church. We're giving away tons of prizes. We're going to have free Chick-fil-A, 3v3 basketball tournament with the grand prize of 3 PS5s for the winners. We have a volleyball tournament with a prize of $100 per person that is on the winning team. We have a video game tournament with a prize of $100. We have inflatables. We have a fast pitch competition. We have our Sunbucks coffee shop is going to be open. Our snack shack's going to be open. We're going to have board games. We're going to have... a movie going on with free popcorn and stuff like that. And the event really is completely free. The only thing that's even going to be charged for is if somebody wants a drink in the coffee shop, that's the only thing that is even going to cost any money. And like, that's going to be light. It's going to be like $2 or $3, but everything else is completely free for the event. And so the purpose of the event is we want to see people get saved. That's the purpose of the event. But you're not just going to get people that are unsaved to just come. We want to go and we want to fish for people. Jesus said that you'll be fishers of men. And so we're going to draw them in by having all these other fun activities. And when I first went to the church, I said to the church, I need $6,000 to do this event. And they said, okay. And they said, we'll give it to you. I said, but here's the thing. I'm gonna believe God that this money is gonna come in for the event, and it's not gonna be an expense to the church. And they said, okay, we'll give you the $6,000. And they even wrote in the budget on the contingency that the money is gonna come in. So like, they were willing to give it, and they were kind enough to do that and stuff. But I needed to have my faith work. What do I mean by that? I needed to exercise my faith for the money to come in. As the leader of this ministry, I needed to believe God. So after a couple weeks, $6,000 came in. We actually had $6,800 that came in. And then I went back to the church and I said, I actually need $2,100 more. And I said, but it will come in. We have now taken in from the last time I pulled the financial report, which is noon or like 2 o'clock today, $7,950 has come in for the spring kickoff event. Last night, people sowed significant seed. I'm telling you, when you believe God and when you get seed in the ground for seed in the ground, it'll come back to you. This ministry has sowed thousands of dollars into other ministries. I hope you understand that. We have sowed significant amounts of money to other ministries, and money is coming back into our hand. I had a girl come up to me while I was teaching at school today. I teach at a Christian school, Faith Prep, that's attached to our church. I teach Bible. And after class, the girl walked up to me and said, I wanted to give this for the spring kickoff event. I was thinking maybe it was like 20 bucks or something. I open it up. It's $150 that she gives me cash right there on the spot. Last night, three $100 bills in the offering bucket, $400 bills. Oh, $300 bills, $414 came into the offering bucket. Last night, somebody felt, a student, not an adult, felt led of the Lord to give $350. That's powerful. That's on top of the $414 that came in. We've had students sow $250 seeds. We've had students sow $200 seeds. We've had people that feel led to sow $1,000 seeds. What's been happening? There's been something on this event. What is that something? That the lost will be saved. People are partnering with the vision that God has. And I haven't been taking these offerings, by the way, as my source. God is our source. These offerings are not our source. When I take up an offering, I say this. I tell people, I'm not asking you to give today out of need. In fact, I'm not begging you to give at all. I'm giving you an opportunity to give, because here's the thing. The offering is not the source for this ministry and for this event. God is the source. How do you know that, Pastor Joey? Because people, even that I didn't take an offering and they were not in the room when I took an offering, have been contacting me, telling me that they're going to sow into this event. That's how you know that God is your source. People are not your source. An offering is not your source. And so that's what I say. I say, we're in no need. We're in no need because God is our source. But if you want to partner with the vision of this event, if you want to partner with what God is doing with this event, and you want to see a harvest come back into your life, what better way to show God that you care about his kingdom than to sow into a soul winning event? What's the scripture for that? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you care about, you will give to. If you care about fast food, you buy fast food. If you care about clothing, you buy clothing. If you care about sneakers and you like to have a lot of sneakers, you buy sneakers. If you care about a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you spend money on them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so if I want to show God, my heart is with winning the lost, then I'm going to sow to it. I even personally sowed into this event. Me and my wife did. We sowed a personal seed. Why? Because we felt like we had to? No. Because we wanted to make sure that we were saying, our heart is really with this event, so we're going to give financial seed to it. Amen? So, actually, I wasn't planning on doing this right now. I was going to do it at the end. But if you feel to give to the spring kickoff event, I think I see Ben putting it up behind me right now. If you feel led to give to this event, you can give by going to faithchurch.cc/give, and you can give by clicking Impact Youth. Can I tell you something? As long as the seed means something to you, then it means something to God. People people are get this wrong on both ends of the spectrum. They think if a dollar is significant to them, that it doesn't matter. But that's not true. If that dollar is significant to you and like you only have $10 or you only have $5 and you give a dollar, that's a massive seed. That's 10% of everything you had that you just gave. Or that's, you know, 1 out of 5, whatever percentage. That is a very high percentage of everything that you have. That's what that is. That matters. But then there's people that, you know, they're millionaires and they're like, I'll give $20. It's like that seed doesn't mean anything to you. Me and my wife really don't sow seeds anymore that are any less than $500, because they don't really mean anything to us if we don't give more than that. It doesn't, you know, impact us the same. You know, really and truly, that's just like what I've decided. I want it to always mean something to me. Now, that's not the level that everybody's at, and I understand that. And I'm not saying you have to give a $500 seed today. I'm not telling you how much to give today. I'm telling you that it needs to matter, though. It should matter to you. It should be a sacrifice. It should be saying, God, this means something to me. Because if you give a half-hearted, you know, I'm going to give 10 cents. If 10 cents doesn't mean anything to you, then your heart's not really there. Your heart's not really there. You know, what's the Bible for that? The woman with the mite, she gave the two mites, the two little coins, into the offering. And the Pharisees came and they gave these large amounts. And Jesus said, surely I tell you, that woman has given more than the rest of them. And the disciples were confused. They were like, what? They were like, this woman only gave two mites, but the Pharisees gave these massive amounts. But Jesus taught this principle that yes, but she gave out of her poverty. They gave out of what they had left over. In other words, she gave everything she had. She gave everything she had. Oh, she gave everything that she had. Everything that she had. But the Pharisees, they gave some leftovers. God doesn't want leftovers. What do I mean by that? God doesn't want something that doesn't really matter to you. Leftovers you weren't going to eat anyway. I wasn't really going to spend this $10, you know, anyway. Like, you know, whatever. It shouldn't matter to you. It should be something that really means something to you. So sow something that means something to you, to this event. Why am I doing this? Because we have a great need and we have a big budget that we need to meet. No, I just told you. We have $7,950 that is coming for this event. We're believing God for $10,000. Why? Because that's where my faith is at, for $10,000 to come in. That's more than what we need. And what we'll do is we'll use that excess money to be able to do more for the kingdom of God. Every single thing that is sowed to Impact Youth, every single thing that is sowed, hear me on this. Every seed that is sown is going to go towards winning the lost. It's not going in my pockets. It's not going in any other pastor's pockets. Every seed that is sown to this spring kickoff event is going towards winning the lost. We will make sure of it. I promise you that. Anyway, if you feel to give, go in and do that. I want to talk to you about this. Here's what we're doing right now. Here is what is happening in our area. We're believing God for a revival. We're believing God for a revival. We're not believing God for just a nice, like, yeah, a couple people got saved. There was like 5 of them that came down to the altar. Yeah, we're excited about that. We're not believing God for something like that. We're believing God for something much bigger. You know, we're believing God for something much bigger. And here's what I mean by that. I don't mean that those 5 people wouldn't matter. That's not what I mean. Of course, we rejoice over the one. But I want something bigger. I want to take this area for God. That's what's in my spirit. When I was in prayer and fasting for 21 days, the Lord spoke to me to do this event. And the Lord began to stir me up to take possession of Greater Danbury. To take possession of Greater Danbury. And that's how God operates. God speaks to the head of a ministry or the head of the people, and then he speaks to the leaders, and then he speaks to the people. In Joshua 6, God spoke to Joshua, then Joshua brought the news to the leaders, and then he brought it to the people. It flows from the top down. And so God spoke to me to do this. And I said, okay, God, let's do it. I'm believing God for a mass salvation. I'm not believing God for five. I'm not believing God for 50. I'm not even believing God for 100. I have my faith on something much higher than that. How many people are registered for this event, Pastor Joey? There were, and this number is not exactly accurate because there were some, you know, people that registered twice, not many people, maybe like 30 people that like had some issues with registration. 430 people were registered for the spring kickoff as of noon today. There's definitely more now. The registration is going up by the hour. And that's not including the amount of people that have walked in, that are going to walk in. I had a student text me today, hey, all my friends are asking if it's okay if they just walk in. Yes, it's okay if you just walk in. There's going to be like 500, 600 plus that are going to be there. Easy. It's going to be packed. This event is not going to be small. And it's going to be, and we're not just doing it, we're not believing God for a one-off type thing. We're believing God for a revival. We're believing God for a generational awakening. Gen Z is going to be saved. And I'm sick and tired of hearing people talk about Gen Z being saved. We want to take our area for God, but they do nothing about it. They do nothing about it. You know, we're just believing God and we're hoping that God sovereignly sends people into our youth group. What? That's not the way it works. God speaks to a man and a man acts. In Ezekiel, I'll look it up for you so that you have the reference. Yeah. Ezekiel 22:30. I looked for someone who would stand in the gap. Wait, where is it? I'm sorry, I lost it. There it is. I looked for anyone to repair the wall and stand in the gap for me on behalf of the land so I wouldn't have to destroy it, but I couldn't find anyone. How did this operate? God looked for someone to stand in the gap, but since no one stood in the gap, he didn't find anyone. I looked for someone to stand in the gap, Deuce, but I didn't find anybody. When God looks to do something in the earth, he looks for a man or woman to do it. To take action on what he says. Why? Because that's the way that God's chosen to operate. He looks for a man. God looks for people to do it. Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples. He didn't say, I'm gonna sovereignly make disciples. On the day of Pentecost, it wasn't the sovereign move of God in the sense that it wasn't just like God opened the heavens and he spoke himself. And people got saved. It was Peter that preached under the unction and filling of the Spirit of God. And 3,000 people got saved. That's what happened. And then God added to their number daily those that were being saved. Why? And then they went out and they preached the gospel. Jesus said, go into the highways and byways and compel them that my house will be full. We have to take action for this move of God. We can't just sit back on the sidelines. We can't just sit on our hands. We have to make moves. We have to actually take ground and take possession. You have to understand there are strongholds in areas. There are strongholds in areas. Demonic strongholds. Where's that in the Bible? Go to Daniel chapter 10. I'll show it to you. We're taking this area for God. This is not going to be a one-night event. This is going to be a generational revival. Amen. Daniel 10:12. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I've come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. There are spiritual principalities that rule over areas. It's true. There are spiritual principalities that rule over areas. Now, what should we do about these spiritual principalities, Pastor Joey? Should we just, you know, well, there's spiritual principalities, so like, you know, we can't really do anything too big for God, right? No. The Bible says our battle in Ephesians 6, verse 12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of this dark world. So we're battling these principalities. But here's the thing. We have total dominion and victory over them in Christ. How do we drive out these principalities? We take authority over them. We take authority over them. I'll show you this in the Bible. Here's how you take authority over a principality in an area. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. I feel the encouragement of the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. A generational move. It says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said. Notice this. The crowds paid attention to what he said. There is a drawing power of the gospel message. People wonder, okay, you're going to have this big event, all this fun stuff. We're going to have a gospel presentation at the event. Do you really expect people to pay attention? Yes, because the gospel is a special message that has an anointing on it to grip people's hearts. People pay attention. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many of who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Notice that when the gospel is preached, there's joy in the city. But watch this. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. And they paid attention to him because for a long time, he had amazed them with his magic. What was happening? There was literally a stronghold of this demonic witchcraft that was taking place in this city of Samaria that Philip was preaching. What did they pay attention to before Philip arrived? It says they paid attention to this sorcerer. There was a stronghold in that area of witchcraft and sorcery from this guy, Simon the sorcerer. But then it says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What happened? Philip came and drove out that principality in that area by preaching the gospel and getting people saved. And it drove that thing right out. Drove it out. The gospel drives out principalities. We are driving out principalities in this area. Last night when we were in prayer and fasting for the last 3 days, because we take this seriously. A lot of people want a move of God, but they're not willing to pay the price for it. Not willing to pay the price for it. Now, we want a move of God, but you know, not too many services, maybe like one every week. Okay, fine. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get what you put into it. But at Impact, God stirred us to do a 3-day fast. Just like Esther fasted for her generation, because her generation, oh shoot, I just popped myself with the mic. Woo. A spirit. No, I'm just kidding. It's not a spirit. Just kidding. There's no microphone spirit or anything like that. A lot of people will teach on like weird types of spirits. There's no microphone spirit. Can you say amen? Thanks, man. Esther fasted for her generation for 3 days. For 3 days. Why? Her generation was about to die. They were about to be slaughtered. And she was fasting so that her generation would be saved. And so that when she went before the king, her request would be granted. What was her request? Her request ultimately led to the fact that she wanted her people to be saved. In the same way, we fasted for 3 days for our generation so that they would not die and they would be saved. Amen? So we did a 3-day fast and we had fasting and prayer every single night. And we prayed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Wednesday night we prayed and we prayed and we prayed with authority, driving out any principality that might be in a region. Amen. So we prayed for that. And this event is going to drive all that stuff out. We're taking it out. I'll show you this in Psalm chapter 24, verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Excuse me. Psalm 24, verse 7. Psalm chapter 24, verse 7. Amen. It says, lift up your head, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, and the King of glory may come in. What does this mean? Well, many scholars believe that these gates are being that these gates are an object that is being used, but it actually represents something, a person or a being. And many scholars believe that this being are like spirits. And they're spirits that hold Arius captive. That the gates and the ancient doors are spirits that hold Arius captive. But then when the King of Glory comes in, it drives all that stuff out. And so that's what we're going to do at this spring kickoff event. People are going to get saved and we're going to drive all that stuff out. People are going to be set free and we're going to let the devil know that he cannot have Gen Z in Greater Danbury. Amen. We're going to take Greater Danbury. And then my goal, you have to understand this. My goal is not to just get a bunch of kids saved. My goal is to get every kid in Greater Danbury saved. And I'm not going to stop till every kid in Greater Danbury is saved. Wow, Pastor, you have 1,000 kids in your youth group. That's amazing. Are you satisfied? No. Why are you not satisfied? Well, because 1,000 kids is how many kids, a little more than how many kids go to Brookfield High School. So there's more kids that aren't saved. That's how you have to think. You have to think, I'm taking possession of this area. Yeah, that's great. 1,000 kids is probably something that has not even been heard of in New England. Something that's not been heard of in the East Coast, maybe even. But guess what? It's not enough because there's still more kids that are not saved. So we're going to go and get more. That's how you have to think. And that's how we're going to think here at Impact Youth. We're going to keep getting. And then when we run out of kids in Greater Danbury, we'll go and we'll into other counties and we'll get other kids. That's how we're going to work. In Jerusalem, the land around you. In Judea, the province. That would be almost like Connecticut or maybe even New England. In Samaria. Samaria is even the people you don't like. And to the ends of the earth. That's how we're going to work. We're going to start in Jerusalem. Then we're going to go and get our region. And then we're even going to get people we don't like. And we're going to go to the ends of the world. Just like Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's what we're doing. We're going to take this gospel. And we're going to keep on preaching it. My hope is that, and my faith is that, people will see this event. And when we post it all over social media, not so that we get a pat on the back. Oh, you're doing such a good job, Pastor Joey. No, so that pastors will see it and go, what the heck am I doing? I need to do something like that. And then they do it in their city and region. That's my hope. I hope you understand. If there's a, not if, I'm believing God, there will be a generational revival. When there's a generational revival, and when it starts, is sparked by what happens here, I don't care if people know that it started in New Milford, Connecticut with Impact Youth. I don't care if people know if it started here or not. What I care about is if people are getting saved all across America and all across the world. Can you say amen? That's what I care about. I don't care if people don't know who Joey Santora is. Yeah, he's the pastor that started this move. I don't care about that stuff. That's not what I'm looking for. Personal gratification. Just as John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. That's what I'm looking for. If people know the name of Christ, that's all that matters. I want people to know Christ. I want there to be a great move of the Spirit. We're taking this area for God. We're taking this area for God. We're driving out every principality. This area belongs to God. Think about that. 500 plus people coming. To be honest with you, 500 plus is really, it's like a poor number almost at this point to even be talking. Like, it's like we really are thinking like 750 to 1,000 right now, or maybe even more. Like, it's going to be massive. It's going to be massive. You talk really big, Pastor Joey. Yeah, I do talk big. Because if you talk small, you're going to get small results. At the spring kickoff, or at the back to school bash in the fall, I talked small. The Lord spoke to me that it was too small. I said, you know, if you just bring one person, that's great. No, it's not. That's a hot take. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Everybody just bring one. Okay? Bring one. But there's 800 kids in your high school. But there's 2,000 kids in your high school. But there's 4,000 kids in your high school. Well, Pastor Joey, isn't it good if everybody just brings one? I guess, yeah, it's better than nothing. But like, I don't want like the bare minimum. That's not how I live my Christianity. Let me get the bare minimum, one person. No, I tell my students, go take your high school. That's how you got to talk. That's how we talk over here. You're going to go take your high school. That's what we tell our kids every Wednesday for the past 6 weeks. You're going to take your high school. Go get your high school. Your high school is going to be saved. I even said last night, and one of our students said it too, and I said it in the spirit. I felt it. It's going to become a thing where it's actually more popular to go to church than it's not. People are going, oh, you don't go to church? Really? Everybody here goes to church. At a public high school, that's what's going to happen. Muslims getting saved. People, atheists getting saved. Yeah, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. It's going to happen on Saturday. Atheists getting saved, set free, and called to the ministry. Can you say amen? That's going to happen on Saturday. Packed out sanctuary. Ben, it's going to be bigger than Heatwave. It's going to be bigger than Heatwave. Heatwave's going to be massive this year, too, our youth conference. We're going to have 500-plus people for that, too. I'm just so thankful to God. I just, even as I'm talking right now, I just feel so thankful to the Lord. When I first started these things, and I'm still getting started. I'm only 3 years into this thing. I'm just warming up. I honestly genuinely mean this. I'm not saying this to like sound like, oh, humble Joey. That's not what I'm saying it to be like. I could not have imagined that I would have an event that God would entrusted me to lead in the front lines of, where there were going to be 500 plus kids and most of them were going to be unsaved. Couldn't have even imagined it. I couldn't have even imagined it. When I started Heatwave, I thought it was going to be a great youth conference and I had eyes for it to, you know, be awesome. 500 plus people are going to come this year. I mean, God is good. If you talk big and you think big, and your faith is, it'll be done unto you. That's what the Bible says. Well, I don't like this whole, you're talking big and thinking big. And so, you know, it's not up to you. It's up to God. As my faith is, so be it done unto me. Read the scriptures. People like to come up with religious things. Read the scriptures for once. Oh, well, you know, I just think we need to leave it up to God. God's leaving it up to you. People don't like it when you talk like that, but it's true. Now, are you saying you're doing it on your own strength? See, that's where people sometimes miss it. No, I'm not. I'm doing this with the strength of the Holy Spirit, with the power of God. It's the Spirit of God in me that I can even do any of this type of stuff. Are you kidding me? It's the Spirit of God in me that I can... I'm telling you, God has changed my life. God's changed my ministry. It's the Spirit of God that I can even get up here. I didn't have everything like perfectly planned on what to say right now, but I'm speaking out of my spirit. It's the Spirit of God that I can even preach and get up here. I get all of that. I'm not discrediting God. That's not what I'm saying. It's only by the Spirit of God that I can do these things. Amen? But I need to do it. That's what I'm saying. I need to do it and believe God for it. That's the point. You need to believe God for it. Set your faith for it. It's amazing. Man, I'm just so excited. I'm going to read you some text messages that I got for some kids. Oh, I just got another text message. They just keep coming in. I didn't know I got this text message. Hey, Pastor Joey, I have some great news. My cousin goes to Danbury High, which is one of the biggest high school in this area. I have some great news. My cousin goes to Danbury High and is going to the event and has a whole bunch of people going. Amen. Let me read you another text. I could sit here and read you texts for a very long time. Hey, Pastor Joey, people I don't even know that follow me are asking for all the info about the spring kickoff. I'm telling you, 1,000 at the altar at least from a student. That's you have to understand, that is a move of God. Like kids saying, 1,000 people are going to be at the altar. That's a move of God. That kids are believing for. This student that texted me lives an hour away, I think 45 minutes to an hour away. She has people that are coming. I'll read you another text. Who's that other person that texted me? Is that what it was? No, that wasn't it. Hey, Pastor Joey, good morning. So I talked about the spring. Talking about the spring kickoff event, I invited some friends.
They are really excited about it. Can they still register, or can they still go if they are not registered? Like, just like text from a bunch of students just telling me stuff like this. Text from another student. I'll read you this one. A student, one of our students texted their friend and said, hey, are you going to the spring kickoff? This is how the student responded to the, this is how the person that the student texted responded. Are you being held captive to ask me this? I'll see if I can go, but it seems like an army of kids have been flooding the school with this event. LOL. Y'all are on a mission. I respect it, though. Do you have a quota on how many kids you need to encourage to come or something? I'm just a little curious. That's someone that's not a Christian that sent that text message. See, this is the impact of God. They don't have a quota. They don't have a requirement. They're not being held captive. And she is right about one thing. There is an army that's coming in, that's going into the school, that's taking that school captive. That's taking that student captive for Christ. And it's not captive in a bad way. We're setting them free by the power of God. For eternity, they'll be the most free that they've ever been in their entire life. There is an army that is possessing those schools. Schools are going to be saved. Amen. I just keep getting text messages, man. I just keep getting text messages. Did I get another one? Let me see. Did I get another one just now? No, I didn't get a text. That wasn't about that. I'm trying to find this one text. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Who texted me the other day? That person that texted me. I forget. I don't know. I got a bunch of other text messages that I could read to you guys, but I can't even remember the people that have texted me. I'm just getting texts. Hey, like my school's like, you know, going, oh, I got a text today. Hey, you know, our school is taking this very seriously. Like, we gave out all the mini invites today. Can we please have more? We've given out 8,000 mini invites to this event. 8,000. Like, who's to say we can't have 1,000 people come? We've given out 8,000 mini invites. That's not even including our social media plugs that we've given. Word of mouth that's been going around. Everybody knows about this event. There's a move of God. If you want to be a part of what God is doing, and you want to give, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give. Go again one more time. Why? Because you want more money? No, I want to give you an opportunity to get a part of what God is doing. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for putting it by me. Remember to put it to Impact Youth. If you want to send us a check in the mail, you could do that as well. This thing's going to be crazy. We're not just looking to have a one night. We're going to have a multi-night revival. With unsaved, the goal is not to have saved people come to this event. The goal is to have unsaved people come to this event and to this revival. Get saved and then come to these revival services and get touched by the power of God. And then people get saved every single night. Something is breaking out right here. I'm talking a big game. I'm talking a big game. I'm not afraid to talk big. Because when you talk big, God will match your confession. Big stuff's about to happen. Big stuff's about to happen. I'm excited. I can't wait. I should probably go. I have to. I have like other things I need to go do right now. But I just really just want to keep talking to you about this event and about what God's been doing. There's something special that is stirring here. If you like what's happening here, I don't know why I'm saying this. If you like what's happening here, and you're listening to this video, and you're like, man, I really want to be a part of this. And you want to be a part of it, and you're, you know, maybe a college-age student or an adult, you can become a youth leader here at Impact Youth. You just have to meet with me, talk, you know. If you're weird, I'll probably say no. But you could still meet with me and stuff. If you want to be a part of it, I'd love for you to come on as one of our youth leaders even. If you're looking for a good, you know, group to get a part of and stuff, and you're, you know, maybe you're even thinking about moving to an area where there's a good church, come here. Come to New Milford, Connecticut and be a part of what we're doing here, because there's something that's about to break out. Join in. I trust me, you're not going to want to miss this. Join in to what's about to happen, because this is where the fire of God is about to break out. It's breaking out in other areas too. Please don't mistake me. It's not just New Milford, Connecticut. There's plenty of other areas where God's doing stuff, but it's fallen here. God is doing something. I preached on the rapture of the, or I didn't preach on the rapture, but I preached on, I did preach on the rapture, but not just the rapture. Preached on the entire end times program last night, and the power of God hit the room, and three people gave their life to Christ for the first time. They were set free from anxiety and depression. And the reason why I prayed for them to be set free from that, they came down to the altar. There was a girl wearing a mental health awareness sticker. And it just ticked me off. Like, yeah, you're not going to come down to, I'm sorry, devil. And she's not a devil. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, you know, it's a spirit. That spirit oppressing her, I'm not going to let her come down to the altar like that. That spirit oppressing her is not going to come down to the altar and leave and be able to stand there and then be able to leave with her. It's going to leave. So I prayed for all of them to be set free. Well, a couple of them walked up to me after. I think all three of them did actually thanked me. And I told them to thank God, obviously. But they said they were super happy that they came. One of them told me, I feel like a completely new person. Like I can actually live a different life now. Two students came up to me and said that they wanted to repent from a life of sin. One of them handed in a weed pen or whatever and said, I don't need this anymore. I'm done with it. God is moving right now in this generation. And these are only just part of the testimonies of what God is doing. Be a part of this generational revival. Don't sit on the back burner. Don't sit on the back burner. Be on the front lines. I have no idea what I'm going to title this podcast. I'll find out when I close right now. But God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned to our YouTube channel, because there's going to be a lot of stuff happening on it soon. God bless. See you.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.